It's time for Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout, coming to you from Pensacola, Florida. Over the next few minutes, Pastor Swarthout will share from his heart and bring you a message from the Word of God. We would like to invite you to visit our website at christiansforamerica.com. That's Christians, the number four, America.com. It is our prayer that you will be blessed and encouraged by today's message. And now, Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout from Pensacola, Florida.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Don Swarthout coming to you from the Gospel Truth Center, and I am the president of Christians Reviving America's Values. We're known also as CRAVE, and I love to say we crave revival in our churches and the restoration of godly principles in America. I have been blessed to be on TV at Fox News, CNN, CBN, KRMT, in Denver, WATC in Atlanta, LaCie Broadcasting in South Bend, Indiana, Daystar Television in Dallas, and a TBN station in Illinois. This is a few of the TV stations which I've been invited to be upon. I've also been on the radio in all 50 states and have filed an amicus brief with the Supreme Court asked for an investigation into Texas Attorney General, who has now resigned after his apparent mishandling of the Compion and Ramos border agents case. I have written many press releases and have been written about in several articles by the Associated Press. I really am not telling you any of this to make myself seem large, but rather, I am trying to tell you a little bit about what CRAVE has done. I praise God for all God has done for CRAVE. In fact, last year we spent more than $660,000 in our letter-writing campaign directed to Christians in America. We write to these Christians to let them know what is going on in the Christian world, and to how their freedom is being systematically stolen from them by the ACLU, the Supreme Court, our Congress, our own legislation, and many others. I am a former board member of the Isaiah House, a Christian-based program for alcohol-dependent and drug-dependent people. This program has a great recovery rate. And in fact, a recent study was done of people that had completed their program. And the study included a five-year period, and it said that 65% of them were still sober. There are a lot of other things I could tell you about myself, like I myself am a former alcoholic. I believe I am a former alcoholic and have not had anything to drink in nearly 23 years. Our message today is about the authority and the power of God. God has given us a great deal of authority, particularly throughout the New Testament, which was one of the main reasons that Jesus Christ came to this earth. In fact, in 1 Timothy 2:5, the Bible says, "For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, and that is the man, Jesus Christ." In Hebrews 8:6, the Bible says, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." Verse 7 says, "For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should have no place been sought for the second." In Hebrews 9:15 it says, "And for this cause he," Jesus, "is the mediator of the New Testament," and that means that of death, "for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, which are called, they that are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. God had been given a great deal of authority on this earth, and he gave it to Jesus. In Mark 1:22, the Bible says, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as one of the scribes." In Mark 1:27, they said, "For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." In Luke 4:36, Jesus was again given recognition because he commanded unclean spirits to come out, and they obeyed him. In John 5:26-27, it says, "For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." These scriptures show that Jesus received all of his authority and power from the Father. Some of these authorities and powers included the authority to present the New Testament, to forgive men of all their sins, to give men eternal life, to heal men of all their diseases, and to teach men all about the kingdom of God. Jesus, in turn, gave that power and authority to us, and demanded that we go out and preach the kingdom of God to all the creatures in the world, to forgive all sins, to heal all men of all their diseases, and to tell men about eternal life. We were to tell everyone about God's love. We are to tell everyone about salvation and eternal life. In other words, Jesus was given the same power as his Father, God. We must stop to realize God gave us the same raising from the dead power God had when he raised Jesus from the dead. In Luke 9:1-2, Jesus called his disciples together and gave them authority over all devils and the power to cure all diseases. Jesus sent them to the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. In Mark 13:34, the Bible says the Son of Man gave authority to his servants, and that includes you if you are a servant of Jesus. In Matthew 9, Jesus healed a man of palsy and asked the question, "Which is easier for one to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'?" Jesus said this to let the people know the Son of Man had the power to forgive sins. Then he said, "Arise, take up your bed, and go unto your house." And the man did just exactly as Jesus had commanded him. He picked up his bed, and he went home. In John 7:2-5, Jesus prayed to God, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, he should have given eternal life to as many as you have given unto him." In verse 3 it says, "And this is life eternal, that they may know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And then verse 4, it says, "I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work that you gave to me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me as your own self with the glory which I had before the world was." These prayers from Jesus himself are very clear. Jesus was also given authority from God for eternal life. It is clear that he was being a part of God, that he had been glorified even before the world existed. Jesus, being a part of God, had existed since the beginning of time. Since he brought the New Testament to all who believed in God, Jesus was to teach us about love, grace, and the mercy of God. The New Testament was sent to God to outline his, was sent by God to outline his plan for salvation. The main part of this new covenant from God was that God loved us, provided grace and mercy toward us. In Acts 1:7-8, Jesus makes it clear. It was not the disciples for them to know the restoration of his kingdom, which the Father had put in his own power. In verse 8, however, it says, however, in Acts 1:8, Jesus did tell his followers they would receive power when the Holy Ghost had come upon them. And they were further told that they would be witnesses unto Christ, unto all parts of the earth. In Acts 1:11, the disciples were told by a man in white apparel, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken from you into heaven shall come back in a like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Is Jesus coming back? Well, my answer is a question. Do you believe the Bible? This makes your answer kind of plain and simple. The answer I gave to this question was a resounding yes. This is proof of this event being on God's schedule. And Jesus will come back. Scriptures about authority prove several things. They, first of all, prove that Jesus Christ had authority given to him from God to have power over all flesh, to forgive sin, to cure all sicknesses, and to give human beings eternal life. More importantly, scriptures prove Jesus Christ, who gave you and I a great deal of authority over all things on earth. Why? Because we are disciples of Jesus. Now you must get this. Jesus gave us authority and power over everything on this earth. In fact, you can talk about Jesus being a part of why we have dominion over the earth. This is especially true when you realize God has provided everything else for us. We cannot make God do anything by our bringing pressure upon him. A long prayer chain which you organize will not make God move. God has already provided us everything we will ever need. That includes in this life as well as in the life to follow. God has already done everything for us. God has given us authority and power to get what we want. All we must do is take our authority and responsibility for getting what God has told us is ours. In other words, God has provided everything we will ever need, and he has said, "Now, take your responsibility and go and get it." It was God who gave us the gift to take our own responsibility. This is how the God-fearing founding fathers learned to take personal responsibility for everything in their lives. It was also how they learned the lesson, God is the source of everything, whatever we think and whatever we earn. Accepting personal responsibility is a foundational principle learned in the establishment of our great nation, America. We must learn to accept the fact that God loves us. Jesus died for all of our sins, and that Jesus died for all of our diseases. When we pray, we must believe. We cannot make God move on our behalf, and we must receive what God has already provided by His love, grace, and mercy. If you can see this simple truth, God has accepted personal responsibility, and He told us to accept personal responsibility for our own selves. Then we will be well on our way to earning the respect of God. We will also be on our way to a much more effective prayer life. You still must pray to God in the name of Jesus. You have to learn how to pray. When you learn this secret, you will be well on your way to some rather amazing results. Take the scripture and do what it says. When you pray about a sickness, you should learn not to tell your mountain how big your sickness is, but tell your mountain how big your God is. And you should speak directly to the problem, like the pain in your foot on top of your big toe. Tell the pain to be gone in the name of Jesus and to never come back. You should also pray in the name of Jesus Christ that all residual effects of whatever your sickness is will be gone and will never come back. For example, Jesus gave us power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of disease and all disease in Matthew 10:1. In Matthew 10:7-8, Jesus Christ gave His disciples power, saying, "As you go, preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Verse 8 says, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have given and freely you receive." Verse 9 says, "Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for money for your journey, neither two coats nor shoes, for the workman is worthy of his meat." In addition to telling us that we are not to take certain things with us, Jesus told us that the workman is worthy of his meat. This simply means that someone who preaches the gospel is to be considered worthy of his meat or worthy of his pay. More importantly, Jesus was giving us the power of God to do the things we had never thought of before, things like raising the dead, the ideas of men healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, casting out demons, devils, and the power to deal with unclean spirits were completely foreign to the disciples and to us. Until the disciples saw with their own eyes Jesus Christ as a man doing miracles in front of them, they could never have even dreamed of doing such things. Jesus gave the disciples all the authority and all of the power they needed to do these miracles, and then they did them. If you want proof of this, go to what Jesus said in John 14:12. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to be with the Father." What Jesus gave to his disciples was the power of God. The power of God was given to the followers of Jesus, and it was that power which we received as well. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." In Romans 1:15-7, Paul says, "I am ready to preach the gospel to you now that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ or his gospel. For it is the power of God to everyone who believes." Verse 17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." We have all of the power of God available to us. These powers were given to us in many scriptures, but one of the greatest examples of this power being transferred to us was right here in John 14:12. In this verse, Jesus gave his followers, which is us, the authority and the power to do even greater works than he himself had done, because he was going to the Father. We frequently are to give ourselves what Jesus has given to his disciples, because Jesus meant for his followers to receive whatever he had given. Whatever Jesus said, he said to all of his followers, even to those who were far off and not born yet. When you look at Ephesians 2:13, which says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you were sometimes far off. You are made nigh by the blood of Christ." When you look at Acts 2:39, it says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." The scripture in Ephesians 2:13 means that we are Gentiles, were once far off from Jesus. However, we have been made close to Jesus by his blood. Being close to Jesus by his blood means that we are to take everything Jesus says to heart, and it is as being for ourselves. In Acts 2:39, "The promise is unto you and your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord shall call." I want to tell you that I consider myself a Gentile, called by God. If you are called by God to do something for the Lord, then you have been called. And this means you have been brought close to God. Jesus also gave us power when he sent his followers the promise of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, Jesus also commanded us to preach the gospel, to be his witness unto all parts of the earth. Peter recognized something in Acts 3:12. After healing a man that was crippled, Peter said, "You men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why do you look so earnestly upon us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" What Peter recognized was he was under the power of God. In Acts 6:1, the Bible says the number of disciples was multiplied. This is telling us that the original 11 disciples who were alive after the death of Jesus chose many other men to become disciples. The point I'm making is that many of the followers of Christ were chosen by a group of men and not chosen by Jesus. Yet they were no less a follower of Jesus Christ. All of this means that followers of Christ can be those among us today and not just the followers of Christ who lived when Jesus lived. You did not even have to be chosen by Jesus to be considered a disciple. In Acts 6:7, the Bible says, "And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great number of priests were obedient to the faith." And this was all after the death of Jesus. In Acts 6:8, the Bible says, "And Stephen, full of power and faith, did great wonders and miracles among the people." In Acts 6:10, the Bible says about Stephen, "They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke." This was also after the death of Jesus. And my question is, why don't you become like Stephen? Smith Wigglesworth lived in the 1900s and was documented to have raised several people from the dead. Why don't you become like Smith Wigglesworth? Billy Graham was one of the greatest evangelists ever. "Actually, I was born again at his meetings." Why don't you become like Billy Graham? Or why don't you become like Billy Traber or Gerald Niebuhr or Mike Marsh? Oh, I know you've never heard their names before, but nonetheless, they are great preachers who feed their people who are down and out, feed their own sheep, and present the gospel to all that will hear them. Oh, I could go on and on. Of course, all of us are not called to become a preacher. However, I sometimes do think we were all called to be a minister. And by that, I mean to love one another, to help all people in some way or another. I believe we have all been given the power of God if we will receive it. If we were given the power of God and receive it, in Acts 10:38 it says, "How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. Jesus who went about doing good, and Jesus went about healing those who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." This sounds like what we are supposed to do more than any other scripture I have ever heard. This is plainly the will of God for us. The purpose God has for us is to go around doing good and to heal all that are oppressed of the devil, and God will be with us in doing so. In Hebrews 13:5, the Bible says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. It may be true that without Jesus I can do nothing, but I'm never without him because he is always with me." It is my prayer that you have gotten the idea of power of God. Let's review some of the scriptures we have talked about and the power of God to make certain that you get it. Jesus had authority and the power of God, which allowed him to give everything God had for him. That Jesus had the authority of God, which qualified him to give that authority and power to men. Jesus gave this authority and power to men here on earth. The following is a recap of the authority and power God gave to Jesus and Jesus gave to mankind. Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Romans 1:16 is saying the power of God is salvation unto everyone who believes. It is transmitted to us through the power of God by the authority of our faith. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us which are saved, it is the power of God." 1 Corinthians 1:18 is saying that it is a testimony to the power of God and the authority by us, taking the authority of faith in God. 1 Corinthians 1:24, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." 2 Corinthians 13:4 says, "For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. We are also weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God." 2 Corinthians 13:4 is saying, we shall all live with Jesus by the power of God and our authority of our faith in God. Well, we're about out of time today, so why don't you call or write to me this week and let me know how you like the show, and if you can get my phone recorder on we may be on the line with another caller. Please leave a message and phone number, and we will get back to you as soon as possible. My announcer will give you the phone number and my address, and we will be back the same time next week unless the Lord comes first. He will be coming soon, and if that is the case, I will see you in heaven.
This has been Craves Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout from Pensacola, Florida. We pray that today's program has been a blessing to you. For more information, visit us online at www.christiansforamerica.com. Once again, that's Christians, the number 4, America.com. Or visit thegospeltruthcenter.com. We would love to hear from you. You can write Pastor Swarthout at 4677 Belvedere Circle, Pace, Florida, 32571. Or you can email Pastor Don at swarthout5, that's the number 5, at AOL.com. Or call 850-736-8613. Once again, that's 850-736-8613. Thank you for listening to Craves Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout. We look forward to hearing from you.